Welcome to Daytime Confidential, brought to you by TVFanOnline.com, your one-stop source for daytime news, gossip, opinions, and more. Hi, soap fans. My name is Lisa.
And I'm Luke, and this is part two of the best and worst of 2006. In our last episode, we dived into the more normal categories. This time, we're going to be a little bit more unorthodox, so stay tuned. Okay, Lisa, last episode, we talked about the normal type of ones, your best waste of talent, or worst waste of talent, best waste of talent, whatever you want, best storyline, da-da-da-da-da. And we ended on an interesting one, the most improved show, because we're going to wait and save the best and worst shows for last. Well, we're still saving them for last, but now we have a bit more unorthodox one. Let's call this maybe the politically incorrect version.
Or incorrect in, you know, proper grammar.
Yeah, politically incorrect, however, I don't know.
Well, we're going to be a little loose on this podcast. Not that we're not always loose, but this one, we're going to get a little skanky on it. So, what is our first category, Luke?
Well, we'll start off easy and wrap up one that we missed in the last podcast with the worst rewrite of 2006. And I'm pretty sure...
worst, we mean obvious.
Yes.
Like, we knew it wasn't planned, then suddenly the writers threw it at us and it was terrible.
Well, not only that, but it's one of those ones where there is no denying on any soap that this is the worst. Because
I guess we agree on what it is, because there's just really no doubt.
Yeah, it completely rewrote a major historic piece on the show All My Children, and that was the joyous rebirth of an aborted fetus.
Rebirth.
Well, I'm trying to be in the holiday spirit here. Rebirth. Born again, maybe that's it.
All right. Maybe just stupid.
Yeah, Josh on All My Children as the unaborted child of Erica Kane, which rewrote the history books as the first abortion in daytime. And now we have Josh Madden, Kane, whatever he calls himself now. And it's just wrong. And the problem is I really like the actor, and I wouldn't mind the character so much if he just wasn't her son. I mean, the scenes today and yesterday were great with him and
Kendall.
Great scenes. I love that dynamic. But you know what? I just don't want him as her brother. I don't want him as Erica's son. I think that bringing back Jeff as a foil for Jackson was wrong, just because of the fact that it takes emphasis away from the Jack and Erica dynamic, which has never been fully explored. I think the whole thing was ill-conceived. I think they did it as a ratings grab, and they're not doing any of the fans any favors when they rewrite something that a lot of longtime fans remember so vividly.
Oh, and it's just so ill-conceived from the beginning. I don't know where she got this idea. She, being Megan McTavish, or whoever on the writing staff, thought that this was a good idea. What were they smoking? What were they on? Oh, you know, it's so irritating. It's just so irritating. And it's not, and I've said this before, it's not a pro-life or a pro-choice issue. It's a reality issue at this point. And you say you wouldn't mind Josh if he weren't the walking abortion or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
See, I have a different view. I mind Josh, period. I can't stand him. I can't stand him.
Why?
There's nothing redeeming about his character for me. And I don't know if that stems from the whole unabortion thing. I don't know. I know at the beginning it had to be. But
well,
I still don't see the qualities in him that I like. I'd rather just not have him on canvas.
I think there's more potential for him as a character in the long run if they would have not made him Erica's son. I think that him and Kendall have great chemistry, and I know you're going to kill me, but I think that he and Kendall could have potentially hooked up if they weren't related.
Ew.
I think that him versus JR is something that the powers that be are going to continue to develop, and it will be one of those things where JR and Josh become the next Ridge and Nick, or Ridge and whoever. I think the character has potential. I just have been sorely disappointed in how they took it. But we're spending way too much time on such a bad thing. So let's move on to
fun.
Let's do the next notch up. Who's most in need of a story, in your opinion?
Most in need of a story.
Yes.
That's a good one. And my choice is R.J. Gannon on One Life to Live. I know you're going to disagree because you don't particularly care for him or even care about him. I love him. I love his hair. I love his snarkiness. I love the hints of evil in his character. I love his interactions with Nora. I love him and Lindsay together. They are hot. I just like him, and he's played by a very talented gentleman, Timothy D. Stickney, who has been criminally underused on that show. And I see no peep of RJ in the spoilers for the coming year. So that does not bode well for me or for fans of RJ. I miss him, and I think he's in need of a story big time.
I don't know. What I've said about RJ, I don't know that it's even worth repeating, but why? There are so many other things that need so much more improvement on One Life to Live.
Yeah, he would be a great improvement on that show.
I don't think that he's the one that I would be on, in my top 5 or top 10 lists of things to do to try and improve this show. But I'll respectfully disagree with your opinion. I mean, it is the end of the year. Try and get along. Bring in the new year right.
How sweet.
But
who's your choice for most in need of a story, Lou?
Well, my most in need of the story is not so much, how do I put this? Well, I'll just say who it is, and then I'll explain why. Who it is Luke Snyder on As the World Turns.
Who is that? I think I vaguely remember him.
And that's my point. Daytime has been very unkind, shall we say, to the coming out storylines of gay characters. Bianca is the one that was done the best. Then you had Lucas on General Hospital, which was royally botched. I won't comment on the one on Passions just because I didn't watch it as closely, but the one that happened with Luke was fairly good. I mean, they incorporated a variety of characters, families, generations. It was pretty good. The scenes with him, when Holden told Emma, excellent scenes. But since that's all happened, there has been nothing. It's like they did, and this is what's so weird about it, because As the World Turns is usually so good at transitioning storylines, but they just left him. And today, he was making grilled cheese for his younger sister, who is now going to be in a weight loss storyline about not wanting to eat. And to me, you can let the little children's storyline wait a little while, considering the fact that we've already got another little girl on that same show with Carly and the whole diamond thing going on. Mm-hmm. It just seems to me that if As the World Turns wants to maintain its standard of excellence, for which it's known, then it needs to start developing follow-through on this storyline so that we can see where it goes. Because as of yet, Luke has tied with Bianca for a great storyline. Now, Bianca is being royally botched because of this whole Zarf thing. Yep. But I have confidence that As the World Turns can remedy it, so let's hope that that is. So that's who I believe is in most in need of a storyline.
Well, I can't really argue, so next category.
Okay, most category. Let's loosen things up here. How about this? Guy whose chestnuts we want roasted over an open fire. Lisa, I'll turn this one over to you.
There's so many in daytime. Gee, I'm going to go the safe route.
Oh, come on.
Because I just hate him. I can't get past it. Every time he's on my screen, I just... And here lately, he's sperminating everyone. So, you know, it kind of fits. Ryan Lavery from All My Children. Enough of the missing Lavery children. Enough. You know, I'm done. And I hate that he made his sister's death all about him. I'm tired of him. I'm tired of his, you know, Insta family. I'm tired of his whole relationship issues. Just, yeah, I'm done.
Okay.
There, that's all I gotta say.
Well, I was going to choose his brother, Jonathan, and then you said Ryan, so I think I'm going to roll with the punches and adjust this. And
right.
So I'm going to fall back on good old As the World Turns once again and choose Mike. because...
Well, he's not going to be around for much longer.
I know, but I mean, at least that will be, means that there's some follow through. But to me, it's like there's one character who has done practically nothing in terms of storylines. He has contributed very little, and in many respects, those are the characters that drive me the nuts the most.
Okay.
On soaps is the ones that are just fillers and show no purpose whatsoever.
Okay.
So I say, let's put Mike on the hot seat, get rid of him. If the actor who's portraying him leaves, if the actor who's portraying him leaves and they want to bring him back as a recast, let's hope they bring him back with some much better writing, because he is as bland as those 2x4s he cuts when he builds those buildings. It's just too much.
What do you mean too much? Too much or not enough? That's character development. I mean, there's been no character development. He's just boring, so...
Yeah.
You know, it's too bad, because Azrael Terns excels at character development until recently, and Mike has never really shown any kind of anything. Let's just be honest. It's just boring. So, yeah, he can go.
Okay.
So, what's our next category?
why don't we jump around to... we want them like an STD.
We want them like an STD.
This is the category you came up with, so explain away.
We want less of them. We want less, less, less. We want them gone, 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 or less, less, less. At least a back burner, you know, if not gone. And my choice
my choice is not going to be gone so much, just I don't want to see any more of it. But okay.
Right. I'm done, you know. And if anybody has ever listened to me about anything read any of my columns, no, I'm not done. You'll know exactly who I'm talking about. It's a beautiful girl, but I'm done with her. And who is my choice, Luke?
Babe.
Babe Chandler on All My Children. Please stop shoving her down my throat. And please, just, I'm tired of Babe is angelic and light. Stop it. She is not. She is vile. She is gross. She is disgusting. And she's just creepy. And with this whole, everybody thinks that she's, you know, love and Zarf coming on and singing her praises, it's enough. It's making me hate her more, if that's possible. And I know that feeling's going around the net big time. So they need to back off this character. They need to either back burn her or get rid of her. There's just no hope of her.
They're not going to get rid of her.
No.
She's got a Chandler as a child. It's not going to happen. However,
so does Liza.
Yeah, but she's young. There's a difference, apparently.
Mm, she needs to be backburnered and restructured. She's hideous.
Unlike yours, which won't happen, it's actually possibly feasible that mine might happen. And this is one of those times where I criticize Young and the Restless, and it's not something that I do very often, because I enjoy that show thoroughly, having watched a majority of ABC soaps for the past 8 years, and then discovering the CBS soaps in the last 3 or so. But I am so sick of Nick and Phyllis having sex. I mean, I know that they daytime dramas are supposed to be these romantic things, and I'm sure there's a lot of people who are fans of this couple, and I actually enjoy the couple. It's just that it seems like their quota for romance is way higher than anyone else on the canvas, and I think that Young and the Restless needs to spread the wealth around. Because I've seen more of Nicholas and Phyllis in bed in the past couple months than any other characters on the show probably in the last year.
It's been pretty bad.
And I love Young and the Restless. I love Phyllis, one of my favorite characters on that show. I like Nick. I would prefer that Phyllis and Jack were together, but I don't mind her with Nick. So it's not that I don't like them, because I do. It's just, let's have some other romance. It's time for different romance.
Well, I think they're gross. I'm so tired of them. I'm like you. Just stop. It seems to be every day that they're doing it. I've been pregnant, and, you know, I just don't get it. Gross. Yeah, I'm with you. They're just gross.
Well,
that's enough.
Speaking of a roll in the hay, this is actually our next category. Most in need of a roll in the hay. Who's your nominee for this
please
award?
Please get this person laid. She is so uptight and not herself. This person was never a simpering coward. And now every time Dusty comes around, you know, threatening to take her grandson away, she just starts whimpering. That is not Barbara Ryan. Please, somebody lay her so she can get back to being Barbara Ryan, please. Thank you. Barbara Ryan from As the World Turns.
I'll preface this by saying this in the last couple days in the TV Fan Online forums, tvfanonline.com/forums, there was a discussion going on about the character of Luke Spencer and how it would be interesting to see what would happen if all of a sudden a little Spencer kid popped out of nowhere because of some fling that he had possibly had off screen. And while I think that it is a great story, just based on screen stuff, I'd say that it's time that Luke Spencer had a good old roll in the hay. It's
what?
I mean, it's just either with Tracy or Felicia or I don't know. It's just time the guy relaxed. That's all there is to it.
You have lost your mind.
I know a lot of General Hospital fans will kill me, but the poor guy, he's went through so much and what else is there to say?
There's so many other people that need to get laid before Luke.
It's just that some of the funniest scenes that him and Luke and Tracy have had were after they got married and they woke up in bed together. And those are funny, great scenes. And it's time that some levity came back into Luke's life.
Some what?
Levity.
Oh, that just says some levity. All right, well, we're going to leave that alone because, you know, I'm kind of just grossed out thinking about it. So, anyways, what's our next category?
Why don't you choose?
Oh, so we're choosing here? How about biggest ho-ho-ho?
Oh, I forgot about that one. Where is it on my list here? Just a moment. I've got to look
for it.
Should
be right after guy whose chestnuts we want roasted over an open fire.
Okay, there we go.
In the Christmas season, let's choose our biggest ho-ho-ho.
There you
mine's
go.
Mine's an easy choice. Mine's just, it's just so obvious. I guess my favorite ho-ho-ho is Brooke Forrester on Bold and Beautiful. I love how they just pass her around on that show as the booby prize, literally and figuratively. You know, everybody fights over her. Everybody has to sleep with her at least once. I kind of enjoy it. I mean, who's next? The women? You know, let's just get it over with. So.
Well, and I had a tough time with this category because I was really debating between a ho-ho-ho wannabe in Chelsea on Days of Our Lives, the actual ho-ho-ho on Days of Our Lives, which is Willow, and then Brooke's daughter, Bridget, who is quickly following in her mother's footsteps to becoming ho-ho-ho in training. I'm not sure.
She so is. Poor, bless her heart.
I mean, I love Bridget. I love the actress who portrays her. But seriously, this is that poor girl. She needs to find someone that her mother has not slept with, or her sister.
Well, good luck.
I know. This is why I'm hoping that something may develop between her and Shane. Not holding my breath, but it'd be nice if something did, because we do not want her to become the next Brooke Logan Forrester.
Well, look at the example she's had. I mean, how could she
her not? Role models? Pardon the pun, her role models. There you go.
I mean, you know, I don't agree with that choice. I think our mother's a much better choice. So.
Hey, to each their own.
Yep. So what's our next category, boss?
Let's go with most in need of a love interest.
Oy, this one's easy. And I think we have the same person.
It might be entirely possible.
Henry Coleman from As the World Turns.
Yep.
The poor guy, he deserves to be on the front burner. He deserves to have someone just to trip all over themselves, you know, being head over heels in love with him. He's funny, he's fun, he's hot, he's sexy. Give Henry a story. Give Henry a love interest. What do you have to say?
Yesterday. Oh, I completely agree. I think there is no single person in daytime with the possible exception of Roxy on One Life to Live who...
That would be a couple.
Oh, can you imagine Roxy and Henry?
That would be awesome.
Yeah, it'd be great. But I still say Henry deserves it because no actor and character deserves it more. I mean,
I agree.
There's just
and
no
I,
one.
I just adore him. I think he's hot and sexy. I would, if I were on that soap, like if it were real life, which sometimes we get so into it, it might as well be. But man, I'd be all over him like a duck on a June bug. That's my crystal impression of the day.
Duck on a June bug?
That's a southern term. Okay, I'm sorry. So anyways, what's our next category?
Let's move down to we want them like a PS3.
That's a good one. We want more.
This
of
is a
these
Christmas
characters.
Gift. This is the Christmas gift to our shows or us.
Yes. And okay, let me preface this by saying I'm not saying I want more airtime for this character because I think he has enough. I want to get into his characterization.
His
psyche. I
want
to know why. Yeah, I want to know why he thinks the way he does. What motivates him? His feelings, because they're all kind of hidden. And I think you know what I'm going to say. E.J. Wells from Days of Our Lives.
Did you see him today?
No, I have not watched it yet. My TiVo is ready for me after this podcast. So I don't particularly want more airtime because I think he has plenty. And I like Days the way it is, how balanced it is here lately. I just want to know if he's really in love with Sammy, what drives him, what motivates him, what makes him who he is. That's what I want to see. And that's what I mean by I want to see him more. So.
Well, my choice is For All My Children, but the character is actually on another soap. And in light of the fact that Greenlee will more than likely not be coming back anytime soon, I want to see more of Skye, Chandler, Quartermain, Alcazar, whatever the hell it is. I want Skye back on All My Children. There is no one character besides Greenlee who could shake that town up. She would be coming back with a baby in tow, which would allow Adam to do all of his grandfatherly whatever over the child to protect it. He would not like Lorenzo. I think put the potential crossover of Lorenzo to Pine Valley would be a great twist. I mean, the only problem with that is that he would have, like, I don't want the mob story coming to All My Children, but maybe if finally Lorenzo gets out of the mob, him and Skye could go back to Pine Valley, and Lorenzo could do his best to live an upstanding life, because to me, the shades of gray that Zach lives in are the exact same shades of gray that Lorenzo works in, and I think Lorenzo versus Zach would be great. I think that Kendall versus Skye would be great. I think that the Chandler dynamic, the Chandler family is one of the best families in all of daytime. Skye,
when you see them.
Well, yeah, Skye, Chandler, Quartermain on All My Children could make that show leap. I mean, that actress and character could save All My Children, in my opinion. Now, I could be wrong, but that's my opinion.
Well, it would help.
Oh, yeah. It would go a long ways to helping.
The only way to save that show, in my view, is new writers. But she would help, because I like her, too. So.
Well, and she's not being used on General Hospital.
Well, no. Well, who is, if you're not Sonny or Jason?
True.
Who is being used on that?
Touche.
Okay, tell me what our next category is, because I like the way you pick.
Why don't we jump over to Most in Need of a Makeover?
Okay. It took me a minute for this one because there's so many. I thought, okay, maybe I'll go to the white trash route and pick Gloria off of Young and the Restless, or maybe I'll go the completely other route, somebody that's like super uptight like Cricket on Young and the Restless. But I decided that I like this character too much to have the hair and wardrobe chimps on her show dress her and make her up the way they do. Natalie Buchanan on One Life to Live. She always has flat hair. She always wears those V-neck sweaters that do not flatter her beautiful figure. She always has the worst makeup. She is too pretty. They make her look big. She's not big at all. She has a gorgeous body. You know, I would take it any day. And they make her look big and
dumpy. They make her look frumpy is what they make.
Yes, they do, because they don't give her clothes that fit her.
It's very librarian-ish.
And they don't make her hair look beautiful. And they don't make her hair, if she has beautiful red hair. Well, you know, give her a little body, this straight stick, you know, sticking to the face hair that everybody seems to love nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Stop it. She is too beautiful for this. So,
well, you can't have her go Texan hair.
Free Natalie. Well, they could blow dry it. My goodness.
That's true. The problem with Natalie is she looks like a librarian, and it isn't the sexy type that guys fantasize over. That's
right.
It's just how
she's
it
too
is.
She's too beautiful for this.
Exactly.
And so that's why I want her to have a makeover. So
well, you mentioned Young and the Restless. And I actually chose someone from The Young and the Restless, which it's sort of surprising because Young and the Restless people for me ended up on the second part of our best and worst a lot more than they did on the first part, which is ironic. But I chose Jana on Young and the Restless for the simple fact I love the character. I love the mystery and mystique that surrounds her. I love that she's a nosy busybody. I've always believed that soaps need that type of character, and I always enjoy them. But I'm sick of the rotating pink, blue, purple bangs that appear on a rotating basis. I mean, this girl is not a My Little Pony. It's not where you take a comb and put water change the colors. I mean, seriously, she is not a My Little Pony. She's a character that has tons of potential. She's paired up with a great actor in a romantic interest. They could have great storylines. Let's get rid of the My Little Pony aspect and go with it. That's all I have to say about
well,
that.
Well, she irritates me because she seems to know everything, can do anything, so I'm over it.
Okay.
What's our next category?
Why don't we jump over to your choice? This is a category that Lisa came up with, and she'll have to do some explaining on this one because I didn't thoroughly understand it at first either.
Okay.
But it is, I thought Port Charles was canceled already.
Oh. Well, that was my cute little term for the dumbest story this year. And we can't name the unabortion because
nope.
We've named it. We've talked about that thing.
It's worst. It's worst. There's a difference between worse and dumb. There's
and
a difference.
Dumb and stupidest. You know, I know Port Charles fans, I'm sorry to offend you, but that was a dumb soap, okay? Now this
They destroyed Lucy Coe.
Oh, I know! How could you... Anyways.
She's not Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Exactly. So this is my choice for dumbest story, and thank goodness it only lasted a day. Thank you, Guiding Light, for having it lasted just one day. Harley is the Guiding Light. She gets electrocuted and turns into a superwoman. It was, while campy goodness and very funny, it was so dumb.
It was campy. It was not goodness. It was campy. It was not
it
goodness.
It was so dumb. And, you know, the white contact lenses and Rick telling her she could be normal again if she short circuits herself and immerses herself in water. You know, come on, guys. Thank goodness. And it was a Marvel Comics crossover. I mean, I get it. It was dumb. So I'm so glad that that's done.
We'll let that little oversight go by the way. Mine also came from CBS Soap. And once again, we're going back to YNR. And I just don't understand why it's on my list. But
I know what you're going to say.
I don't think anything quite exemplifies a stupid storyline as Brad Thunderthigh's reliquary whatever. I do not
snap crackle.
There are many things that Young and the Restless excels at. General Hospital style fight and filming scenes are not one of them.
And he's stabbed. I mean, he stabbed
well,
the guy.
And then he
still can break his neck with his thighs.
Well, and he had the, I mean, it was one of those things where his whole kicks and things, do you remember that?
About Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Well, no, it reminded me of that, what is that, World Police movie where they use the little dancing string minuets, or is that what they're called? I'm trying to remember here, where like it was the World Police and they were off to get, the guy over in North Korea or whatever. It just reminded me. It looks so fake. It looks so wrong on so many levels.
It really was.
The reliquary story, if you take out the whole Sharon hostage, Brad Thunderthighs killer thighs, if that's what you want to call them, I mean, just wrong. If you take out that segment of it, I enjoyed the lead up. I've enjoyed the fallout. But that part of it was just plain dumb.
Well, the funniest part to me was when Victoria was watching the fight, and then Brad starts choking him with his thighs, and she turns her face Like, oh, it's so awful. You know, and I kept thinking, yeah, it is pretty awful. Well, it was just so bad.
And what's so funny about that is in the articles that you read online, prior to that, you read these articles about how Young and the Restless was going to have the first Jew family or Jewish family on daytime. I can just imagine some Orthodox Jew tuning in to see how they are being portrayed on daytime to discover him being Kung Fu thighs. I mean, it's just wrong. It was just wrong.
Oh, it was great. I just loved it. I thought it was hilarious. It was campy goodness. But
Y&R does not do campy well, and it does not do action well.
Well, it just cracked me up. So, what's our next category?
Well,
Is it another one I made up?
Well, how about since we were just talking about what Y&R doesn't do well, maybe let's transition over into the topic of wise decisions. Best Obi-Wan impression.
Oh, yes. Best Obi-Wan impression, and that means the smartest character, who we think is the smartest character on soaps. I think Zack Slater's the smartest guy in daytime because of several things. He was the first one to figure out that Tad actually killed Greg Madden. He was the one who convinced Dixie to listen to Tad after his testimony burning her on the stand, because he figured out Tad was doing it to save their lives. He was the one who figured out that Tad was lying from the beginning. He's the one who snuck into Greg Madden's clinic to cause the, or wherever, to cause the blackout so Kendall wouldn't get pregnant. He's the one who runs these casinos without lifting a finger. He's the one who helped Erica in Vegas, got her into, figured out she
now
had
there
a
was a
problem.
There was a piece of brilliance, that one.
Oh,
there.
Wasn't that awful? But Ryan gets the credit, but Zach's the one who saved her. I mean, Myrtle's wise, but Zach is clever, because Myrtle is Myrtle, you know? She's up on a pedestal, but Zach's smart and clever, so... Who's your choice?
Well, I'm going to do a side note here real quick.
Okay.
If I look back at the exact moment where all my children went into a decline, it was Erica Kane in Vegas as a showgirl.
I have to agree with that exact
moment. If there is one defining moment in this soap's modern history, if you want to call it, that's it. Okay. Now on to my...
And the thing is, they brought in a really great character, but the show has sucked around him. It's just been terrible. But you're right. That's a good point. Go ahead.
Okay. My choice for best Obi-Wan impression is John Abbott, both pre- and post-death.
Are you kidding me?
No. I think that he was the conscience of Jack. Mm-hmm. I think that prior to his death, I think that... He brought a level of dignity to that show and to the characters that he interacted with that allowed him to influence them in ways that they may not have realized. And post-death, how much better can you get than a father tormenting his son over the bad choices that his son is making? I think that from those standpoints... I thoroughly enjoy him, and I consider him to be one of the wisest characters in daytime.
I think Ghost John's annoying. I think Ghost John is full of it. I mean, Gloria could rip the head off of some child and suck it dry, and he would just go, "Yay, Gloria, you're so beautiful." Jack runs a red light, and he'd be in the back seat, you know, tormenting him. I think Ghost John's full of crap, so.
And you're welcome to do it, but I think that as a character... on that show, without, especially since his death, the show has been missing the level of dignity that he brought, and the conscience aspect that he has for Jack has been quite intriguing, and I've enjoyed it thoroughly. But...
Well, I think you've misunderstood the category. It's, you know, smartest character. I mean, you're right, he is the heart of that show.
I associate smartness with wisdom.
Well... All right. Then why didn't you choose Myrtle?
because we have a tendency of going overboard on all my children, and I've tried to do a well-rounded choices and well-thought-out choices. Not to say that yours aren't. I don't want to even go there, because that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying I like to choose things from a wide variety of soaps so that I don't have a bias towards one over the other, if that makes any sense.
So you're saying I do?
No, I'm not saying you don't, but I'm just saying I've already got a bunch of All My Children picks on my list here. I needed to switch things up a little, so I decided to go with John.
All right, what's our next category?
Well, speaking of where in the world John is, where in the world is our next category? And
where in the world is pretty self-explanatory. Where is this? You know, we miss it.
What happened? Well, either that or else you could have something like mine, which I'll get to in a moment, but it could be any number of things. Where in the world, insert whatever. That's what it means.
Where in the world is Sam McCall's backbone on General Hospital?
Ooh, good one. That's a good one.
What is going on? She is a simpering mess. I swear, does she go through one episode without crying? I mean, she's nothing like Alexis, and it drives me crazy.
I'm surprised that General Hospital hasn't figured out some way to get Kleenex or Puffs as an official sponsor of the show.
That would be really good.
So they could literally have her pull out a box of tissues. I mean, they could have one at the police station. They could have one at Sonny's mansion. They could have one at their the penthouse. They could have one at Alexis. It would literally be like the moisturizers that Bold and the Beautiful had back a year or so ago, where they had Darla there, like, just moisturizing her skin with a prominently displayed bottle of moisturizer. They should have a puff box or a Kleenex box for Sam McCall so that she's obviously pulling out tissue out of the boxes. That's how much she cries.
And it's
saddening.
It's not effective anymore. You know what I mean? Tears should be something wrenched out of someone and should get reached down into our hearts and touch them. But every time I see Sam cry, it's like, oh, there she goes again. I mean, the girl, Kelly Monaco is the best crier in the world. But
she's the best crier in daytime. There's no doubt about it.
I am so sick of seeing her cry. Stop it. Get a backbone, chicken. So that's my where in the world.
My where in the world has yet to be answered. My where in the world is, where did the reliquary go? I mean, we had Brad, killer thighs, thunder thighs, whatever. He went through all of this to save Sharon, and there's all this crap about the reliquary. Where in the hell is it? Let's get.
Who cares?
Exactly.
At the point where I just don't even care. Move the story along.
I mean, it's really sad when Professor Reliquary is more interesting with Colleen than we even care about the actual thing.
I really
thing.
Like them together.
Me too. That was sort
We're
of
the
an
only
unexpected...
two on Earth. You know that.
It's entirely possible.
No, I've read message board after message boards. Nobody likes them together. And I'm like, I do.
So do I. I do too. Well, I think that I love JT and Brittany, and so, to me, Colleen with JT never really seems to work. She seems too needy and too childish, and he's too adult for her. He needs a woman who can manhandle him, if that's the way, and Colleen isn't capable of that.
Manhandle
him? Well, I don't know.
Are you projecting?
No, I'm just saying.
Are you saying JT has tendencies?
No, that's not what I'm saying at all. I'm just saying that Brittany was a more mature character. She was spoiled, but she was more mature. And Colleen Brittany was very sure of herself and everything that she did, and JT is very sure of himself and the things that he does. Colleen is not sure of herself in any way. And I think that it is because of the fact that they've written this character as more of a teenager than an adult, like they've been writing JT for a long time.
Uh-huh.
And so considering that doesn't seem to work, I think that we have much more better storyline possibilities with a Colleen Professor Reliquary. But that's just my opinion. What do I know?
Well, I think JT makes her childish, plays on her insecurities a little bit. I don't think he means to. I think it just happens. So, anyways, what is our next category?
How about they better not go there?
Oh.
This was yours, if I'm not mistaken.
They better not go there is a story, like a storyline, a couple, a character, whatever, that you see being hinted at that is just disgusting, or you just hope, like anything, that they don't do it. And mine is Jeffrey and Olivia on Guiding Light. They are really hinting at a couple inch here. And I am livid. It's disgusting. It's gross. I'm sick to death of seeing this. You know, Luke and Laura's one thing. But a rapist and the victim is vile. And Olivia is too good for him. And he just needs to get off the canvas. Olivia belongs with Buzz. Leave them alone.
Oh, you're
going to
kill me.
Happiness.
You're going to kill me.
What?
I think Olivia and Buzz are about as boring as dried paint.
Because they're writing them that way. They didn't used to be. They used to be so much fun and snarky and just, they got each other. But now
Buzz and Olivia are nothing in compared to what Buzz and, Alexandra were.
Well, sure.
But, I mean, I would much rather have Olivia and Jeffrey together and Buzz and Alexandra together.
No.
Okay, you're hurting the levels here. Ouch.
Well, you know what? That just made my brain explode. And if they put Jeffrey and Olivia together, I'm seriously thinking about turning off the soap. And I've watched it for 35 years. It would disgust me that to that point. It's hard enough me dealing with Josh and Cassie. You know, Jeffrey and Olivia would put me over the edge.
And yet you like Jonathan and Tammy, but that's...
They're hot, so go ahead.
Well, my choice is, and this is why I'm going back to All My Children, is that, and it's simple. It's very simple. They better not have Annie turn out to be Greenlee. If they do that, I mean, I will not stand for it. But it's just plain and simple.
What will you do?
I don't know. I'll come up with something. I'm not sure exactly what now, but I will do something if that should ever happen. Because
my big thing is if I'll break the TV and send them the bill.
That character is not capable of making a Todd-type transition with the actress who currently portrays Annie. Not
now,
possible.
Are they hinting at that? I don't get that at all.
I never said they're hinting. I'm just saying they better... Well, I know, but it says they better not go there. And all I'm saying is they better not go there.
Wow. The Greenlee love shining through once again.
Yes,
so,
well...
anyways, what's our next category?
Well, let's see here. How about, well, duh.
And that's a category like a character or plot or whatever. We saw it coming a mile away. Like, it's supposed to be this huge surprise. But it wasn't. Because guess what, writers? We're not idiots. And my, well, duh, is Hugh is actually John on One Life to Live. Well, duh.
No like, kidding.
I mean, come on. How stupid do they think we are?
Well,
I mean,
the other
Sean McVay the entire time.
Well, the other problem is that we are online soap viewers, so we read all the news, all the magazines, all the spoilers.
Right.
If you're a casual viewer who just turns on their DVR, doesn't pay for the magazines, and isn't so into soaps that you look for it online, they might have been surprised. But,
no,
but I think it's time. I think it's time that the soaps start adjusting to the online world, because obviously they can't do everything for us, but some of the stuff that they do is just so old fashioned,
exactly recycled.
Yeah, there's got to be something. But
well, see, I see your point, and I did think about that when I was thinking about this category. I really did, because I do have inside information as much as anybody online can. You know, we do see the scoops. We do see that Michael Easton re-signed his contract, blah, blah, blah. That was pushed aside, actually. It was so obvious from day one, the anvils they dropped every day. Oh, I wish it were John.
Roadrunner.
John
beep, beep.
Do. Ba-ba-ba-ba, John. All the time. And it was just, you know, you had to be a freaking moron, you know.
Maybe they were worried they'd lose viewers.
Whatever. So anyways, what's your well duh?
My well duh is, well duh, we all knew that Lizzie was going to end up pregnant with Jonathan as baby at least for a while. I mean, at least until the next paternity test comes along.
That's right, until Coop's proved to be the father.
Let's face it. But the character of Coop is almost as boring as his father, unless he has something to spark him and make him vibrant. And Ava does not do that for him. Lizzie did, but when they decided to break them up, you knew that it wasn't going to end up being his baby, at least for a period of time.
Right.
And you could see it from a mile away. Right. And I think that Lizzie and Jonathan have been an excellent couple. It's unfortunate that Jonathan is going to be leaving.
Right.
And let's just hope that the storyline they write for Lizzie and Cooper and Coop and the baby is better. Because I think it could be very interesting if they write it, well, here's this woman who was once in love with a man who's the father of her child, but now she's in love with the man who isn't there. That's a fairly interesting storyline, and I can see it maturing, but still.
Well, and Marcy Ryland, who plays Lizzie, has really matured in this role.
She was not
that good at first, and now she's excellent, and I really look forward to seeing her. She is, I think working with Tom Pelfrey really helped her, and Ron Raines. And when she goes back, because we all know she's going to go back with Coop or go be with Remy, whoever, she'll elevate them, because now she's that kind of actress who can go in and elevate the people around her. I really enjoy her now, so way to go, Marcy.
I'm sort of looking forward to a cat fight between her and Ava. That should be fun.
Another one?
Well, but...
They had like 10 earlier this year.
But the majority of it has been Lizzie versus Tammy. So I'm sort of looking forward to a Lizzie versus Ava, and once
Ava's so boring. You talked about boring. Ava is the queen of boring.
And that may be true, but if there, you said characters can uplift. If there's a character that can make Ava unboring, it's Lizzie.
I hope so. So anyways, what's our next category?
Well, we're drawing very close to the edge, and I think I'm going to throw one of these characters, or one of these questions that we had back in here, just since neither of us have picked one, just so that we can see how good we are at rolling with the punches.
What?
Most in need of a visit to the Martin attic.
Well, we kind of covered that already. You know, someone we want less in Babe Chandler, but...
Well, maybe, okay, hey, okay then. Let's say this. How about... Read a book or dumbest character. Do you want to expound on this one a little for the listeners?
I think.
Or
they
is
got
it self-explanatory?
I think they got it. They probably have read a book. So, my choice for dumbest character is on The Bold and the Beautiful. Her name is Phoebe Forrester. Shut up, Phoebe. Shut up. You know, I get that you like this scummy guy, Shane. I get it. Okay. But he's bad news. Everybody can see it. You have him staying with Bridget, who is going to sleep with him. Come on. Stop being such a ditz. Grow up. Open your eyes. Stop being a brat. Read a book. I'm just so sick of her. I don't know why she's there. She gets on my nerves. Where's Steffi? You know, I'd much rather hear her. So
well,
that's who my dumbest character is.
My dumbest character is someone you're going to probably have a coronary over. But my dumbest character is Tammy on Guiding Light. That character, that character to me personifies the cliche and stereotype of dumb blonde.
Why?
The girl is an idiot if she ever expects, if she ever expects to have a perfect life or a, what's the word I'm looking for? If she ever expects to have a picket fence life, it's not going to happen. When you set yourself up to date your cousin, and when you come from gene stock like Cassie, you don't have a prayer in heaven, and it's almost as if your genes have made you predetermined to be stupid. And
goodness, that's harsh. You know, that's really harsh.
It's not the actress. It's not the actress. It's the character.
They're like that. But, wow, I know she's a little indecisive. You know, I want you. No, I don't. Go be with your baby. No, I want you. Blah, blah, blah. But to call her dumb, I think that's pretty harsh. But, you know, Cassie is your mother. I mean, what else can you expect? Sorry, Cassie fans. So, what's our next category, Luke?
It's actually getting to that time. We've whittled down our whist.
Whittled down our whist, did we, Elmo Fudd?
Yeah, exactly. We've whittled down our list. There we go. Tried to recover from
my
choking.
Lay off the sauce there, Luke.
Exactly. To the best and worst soaps in daytime.
Which one do we do first?
We've saved it till the end. Well, do we... Bad news first or good news first?
I say bad news first. We end on a positive note.
Okay, yes. We need to be more uplifting with this podcast anyways. So, yes, let's go with worst daytime drama.
Oh, come on. There's just no need to even preface it. It's All My Children, period. The end. they have fallen from grace so hard. The show is flatter than a pancake. It's bad stories. There's bad character development. There's what the heck is going on? These twists.
There's no depth.
Plot twists are just inane. There's nothing there. Really nothing good.
And it was my pick for worst as well because
what?
Well,
they
continually make mistakes that are obvious. They fire veterans or heritage characters.
Right.
They get rid of popular characters who may not be them like Simone or never use them like Simone. They get rid of people like Opal. Then when they have a really talented actor, is the guy who played the dragon, which was Dai's storyline.
Oh, he was great.
They would have been genius to bring that character back as his twin brother, like General Hospital did with Lorenzo Alcazar. It would have been great. There would have been great acting. There would have been a dynamic that would have made things very interesting for Dai. There could have definitely been that whole angle. It would have been excellent. They have botched returns of major characters, such as Dixie. They have rewritten history in the form of abortions. They have systematically dismantled families. Where's the last time you heard of Cortland? Where is Petey? Why isn't Petey dating?
Yeah, where is Petey?
Why isn't Petey dating Colby? Why do we have Sean when we could have Petey? Why do we have Emma and Annie when we could be having other characters on the show? It's why, when, how, what, whatever.
There's Elmer Fudd returns.
Exactly. There is no. There's nothing to explain why the filming styles that happened this past summer. Their obsession with this freaking bar. What happened to Haley and Mateo's bar? What happened? Yeah.
Sorry.
Imagine that. What happened? I mean, all of a sudden the Wild Wind Mansion has been turned into a co-ed dormitory.
Don't even get me started on that.
Where is the crystal ball? What instead of a Mardi Gras ball, why didn't we have a crystal ball? Where is, I mean, you go down the list. Where's the Glamorama? Where's KRCW? Where are Chandler Enterprises? You very rarely, if ever, see that anymore. The entire thing is built around a lack of depth that is almost impossible. That show is so shallow in terms of character depth, in terms of storyline depth, in terms of sets and motive and development. A flea wouldn't even drown. It's so shallow.
Well, my point is, that's all good points. I agree with it all. I think their biggest problem is lack of balance. Lack of...
There is none.
There is none. And lack of making characters pay for their actions, good or bad. You know, here's Babe, who does all this disgusting stuff, yet she's rich, she's married to JR, she has custody of her son, she has stock infusion, which she did not even earn or deserve.
She's now having an affair and getting away with it.
Here's Crystal, and I know you like her, but here's Crystal, pregnant with another man's baby, but yet threatens Adam continuously to take away this baby if he steps out of her quote-unquote line, if that makes sense. It's not even his. Yet she blackmails him continuously about this child.
Well, that's
a
baby storyline, though.
She's never called out. She's never made to pay.
Well,
she is a convicted baby stealer.
Have you watched the previews?
Here she is lying about another child. It's disgusting. Here's Josh, who can go off and treat everyone like crap, but he's held up as this golden child because he's a Martin Kane. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of the lack of balance. We get Zach and Kendall for maybe 6 minutes a day, but yet we have Babe and Josh and Jonathan, and there's been more mourning for Aaron than there has been Simone, that's wrong.
And I think it goes even further to the terms of Tad. Here is a character who is probably the most sanctimonious character on the show. and he murders and gets away with it. You say Jamie is the exact same way. I mean, these are two characters who will say, oh, I'm good, whatever. And then they turn around and do really, really bad
things.
Right.
It's all hypocritical. It drives you nuts how hypocritical it is. There needs to be some fairness. You know? There needs to be balance. There needs to be payment made for your actions. There needs to be payoff, and there's none. There's no payoff on any of these stories. You know, this whole Dixie thing, you know, the Greg Madden in a coffin. There was no payoff.
Well, and what's ironic, about it is the characters that you would normally expect not to pay mm-hmm. are the ones that are paying the most.
Continuously.
Adam is continually paying. JR is continually paying. These are characters that, under normal soap premises, are villains or semi-villains, which means that they get away with things. And they're not getting away with anything. Though I will say, JR has probably had more character development on that show than any other single character on the show.
Well,
thanks to Babe, but.
Well, I just know that I will root for a Chandler over a Carrie any day. I don't care if he tried to kill her. Then she should have made him pay for it. She should have stood up and made him pay for what he did, but she didn't. She drilled into everybody, Babe drilled into everybody, that they should forgive JR, blah, blah, blah. But yet she holds it over his head continuously. So no, there needs to be balance. This hypocritical sense on this show needs to stop, because it's driving viewers away in droves.
Well, speaking of not driving away viewers, the best show, our choice for best show, I'm not sure if we'll have the same one. It's possible that we do, but...
No, we don't.
Either way, I have a feeling that both of our shows, if we don't have the same one, are not driving away viewers. They're pulling them in because they are consistently either doing innovative things or telling great stories, providing great character depth, whatever you want to call it. What is your choice for best soap of 2006?
Mine's a very unorthodox decision. It was way harder than I expected, because soaps on a whole this year have disappointed me. I know that's pretty bad to say, being a soap person. This choice made me balk the least. The first half of the year was As the World Turns. The second half of the year was Days of Our Lives. So my choice for best daytime drama is Days of the World Turns.
Days of the World Turns.
I didn't know. I couldn't pick. Because the beginning of the year, I'm serious, before the slasher, the teen slasher mm-hmm. flick wannabe, from that point, you know, before that, As the World Turns had it hands down. From that point on, I just feel like they've floundered. They've lost their focus. I'm sick to death of Craig.
I don't think they know what to do with Craig.
They don't. I'm so sick of Craig being the first evil, like in Buffy. I'm so sick of it. I'm sick that Craig is being blamed for being shot by somebody else. I'm sick of it. And so Days of Our Lives made such strides from the summer on.
Wait till you see Victor today.
Right. Wait. I mean, I can't wait to watch it. It is the best soap for me right now.
Oh, so, it's the one that I'm tuning into to watch live.
Right. It's the one I really look forward to every day. So I hope my choice makes sense. I'm not copping out. I'm being as serious as I can, because As the World Turns at the beginning of the year was flawless for me. I really enjoyed it. I rushed to see it, but now that's Days of Our Lives. So right now, as of this airing, it's Days of Our Lives, but the beginning of the year was As the World Turns.
Well, I won't call it a cop-out, because I do see your point, but I did just choose one of them, and I chose As the World Turns. I think that if Days of Our Lives keeps up on the way that it's going, it will be my number one pick next year, because it is doing so well. But,
and it's so much fun to see.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Finally, Days of Our Lives has gotten
Victor,
it.
The Victor that I remember growing up as a kid is back. I mean, his going after Belle and Sean, and I mean, basically, they don't have a chance in hell against
him. Who does when Victor's on?
Well, Stefano and Victor have always been a great thing. But
why did you choose As the World Turns?
The reason I chose As the World Turns is I think that they've done lots of great storylines. They may not have always followed them through the best. I mean, Lucinda started out as a pretty good storyline. They didn't quite wrap it up the way it should have been, but it was very well written. They did Luke's coming out story, which was very well written. They've done, excuse me, they have done the Carly, Simon, Jack thing. I like that they've broken up Carly and Jack because I think that was becoming too ho-hum. I think that Maddie, as a character, the first half of the year, the Maddie, Gwen, Will, Casey thing, and I'm not as big a fan of Casey as a character, but that storyline, they actually, with Maddie, they were able to actually make Casey an appealing character. He wasn't just the ignorant character he'd always been. There was a lot of, and I think a lot of, and it's like you said, the first half of the year was excellent, and I did enjoy the summer thing. I took it as what it was. It was campy fun, pardon the pun, that for the summer, but I enjoyed it up to that point, but I will say that since September, or maybe more correctly, since the whole snowstorm hit, it has not been as good as it was in, say, the first 8 months of the year, but I'm willing to give it my award based on the fact that it had such a great first 8 months. This is a show that has gone out of its way to give character depth, provide writing, while also coming up with innovative things. I realize that...
Well, soap does that better.
No, I mean, they came up with the Daytime... not Daytime Confidential, but Oakdale Confidential book, which the first... I mean, when do you hear of a book that is about a daytime show being a New York Times bestseller?
They were... Marcy's on One Life to Live?
Well, I know, but what I'm saying is it doesn't happen very often, and it's never really done well. And as I understand it, the first one was done well. The second one seems to have been basically a cop-out. But they I don't know. Everything that I've saw, I've enjoyed for the first eight months. The last few haven't been great, but... Hey, it's almost a new year. They can begin 2007 with a clean slate. Everybody starts with a clean slate on January 1st. So it's just as likely that if all my children would have a miracle on, well, I don't know what street is in Pine Valley, but maybe a miracle on 34th Street in Pine Valley, it's possible that they may be the best soap, but it would have to take an awful lot for that to happen. But January 1st, all bets are off and everybody's equal again.
Well, I hope so, and I hope that the soaps realize that where their bread and butter is, and that's not the 13 to 19 demographic. It's us. We're the ones who get our children hooked on them. My mother got me hooked on my soaps. That tradition really is where they need to concentrate. I just want well-written stories. I want characters I can root for. I want characters I can relate to. That I don't think that's too much to ask, and I know they're more than capable of doing it. So you're right. Come January 1st, all bets are off, and let's do it again.
And you actually provided an excellent segue. As we've mentioned earlier, we are recording these podcasts in advance for your listening pleasure. The next podcast that we have coming up in the next few days, from the time you listen to this, is going to be our New Year's wishes or resolutions for 2007 in the world of daytime. And I think it should be a very interesting debate or discussion, shall we say, because we'll have our own, and then we'll have some for each other, because obviously we have some differing opinions. But email your New Year's resolutions for soaps to dc@tvfanonline. As always, drop by the tvfanonline.com/forums, and visit with us. We'd love to have you there and visit. If you're on MySpace, myspace.com/tvfanonline. I'm trying to think. Is there anything else?
No, you covered it, and we've really enjoyed doing this, and I hope you guys enjoyed listening to it.
Well, and when this airs, it will be the week of Christmas, probably after Christmas, so we hope that you've all had a great Christmas. We hope that you have a wonderful New Year's. Don't party too much. Be responsible. Don't drink and drive. Little public service announcement here, pulling straight off the pages of Young and the Restless. Don't drink and drive. Should be assumed, but if it isn't, look up one of those free taxi cab services they offer.
That's right, babies. So everybody have a great holiday, and see us next year, okay?
So long, folks.